Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you have spoken through your word. Thank you that you have given it to us and preserved it for us. And Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to understand and to see what you want us to learn today. And Father, we confess that in our sin that we want our own way, we want to do our own thing. I pray that you would take captive our hearts and mold them so that we want to do the things that you want us to do. Father, we praise you that you are the God who comes after us when we sin against you, and that you, in your mercy, rescue us from our sin. And I pray that you would not give up on us as you have promised. Pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and reveal to us Jesus Christ this morning. We pray in his name. Amen. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Jonah, the book of Jonah. It is in the white pages of your Bible in the Minor Prophets. If you get to Matthew, it's too far. And if you're in Isaiah, you need to go forward. So I'll give you a few minutes to find Jonah. We're going to read the whole book because it's short. We'll be going over Jonah in this week and next. But I think it's helpful to read the whole thing to see the message that God wants us to learn. So, Jonah chapter 1, starting at verse 1, this is God's word. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, and you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I have been cast out of your sight, Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord says, Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a behemoth east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, It is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, It is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? And when you first look at the book of Jonah, you might say, wow, that's a fun little book to study. Well, the book may be little, but I don't think there's a lot of fun in the book of Jonah. Maybe the part where he gets swallowed by a great fish. The story of Jonah is actually quite dark. That's why I wanted to read the whole thing. This is a story of a man who would rather die than obey God. Jonah 1 to 2 are Jonah disobedient. He's fleeing from the Lord. And Jonah 3 and 4 are Jonah obedient. but he is certifiably worse in his obedience than his disobedience. Now, when you think of Jonah, we often think about the great fish that swallowed Jonah, and that is certainly part of the story. But the fish is just one thing that God uses to teach Jonah a lesson. He uses a storm and then the fish, a worm, a plant, a worm, and a scorching wind. Now, there's many things we might wonder about Jonah, like how he survived in the belly of a fish or a whale. But what we have in front of us are the words of God. And every single word in the book of Jonah is given to us to teach us a lesson about something. Now, what is that lesson? Now, stories are sneaky. Now, when you want to kind of teach someone a lesson but don't want to do it directly, you tell a story, okay? So when we first read Jonah, it's like, what an idiot. I can't believe that he did that. Who would run away from God? Why is Jonah so angry? And then after a while, we're like, oh, wait. I'm like Jonah. And that's how stories catch us. So if just to kind of give it away, I'm going to put myself in Jonah's shoes, and I hope you do too, so you can learn the lesson that God wants you to learn. So why is Jonah written? Number one, Jonah is a story written for unloving Christians. You see how Jonah 4 ended with God's compassion? Okay? Jonah was written for religious people who have good theology. So since you're in church today, I consider you religious. I hope you have good theology. I hope you know the right things about God. But that's not enough. You need to have a heart of love for others. Jonah knew the truth about God. He proclaimed the truth about God. He was a prophet, for crying out loud. He was God's spokesperson. But he didn't believe it in this book because he hated people made in the image of God. He'd rather die than tell his enemies the truth. That's how twisted he is. That's how twisted we are. But the book of Jonah reveals an incredibly merciful God. Number two, Jonah is fighting God because he hates certain people. Jonah is fighting God because he hates certain people. Now, the story of Jonah, I think, is pretty easy to understand, but there's one piece of information that you have to know to understand the book. Nineveh was an important city in the Assyrian Empire, modern-day Iraq. And the Israelites hated the Assyrians. Now, why would the Israelites hate the Assyrians? Well, the Assyrian policy, because they didn't have many natural resources, was to pillage and plunder their neighbors for natural resources. When the Assyrians would conquer a city, they would behead most of the people and put their heads in piles outside the city gate. So when they would lead the captives away out of the city, they would pass the heads of their friends and family members. As you can probably imagine, the Assyrians did not have many friends. And Jonah certainly was not a friend of the Assyrian Empire. So Jonah did not want to obey God because he'd rather fight the God of the universe than to help his enemies. But that's the important background piece that you must know about Jonah and the Assyrians and Nineveh. So we're going to work through these first two chapters of Jonah and then consider how these chapters apply to us. So Act 1, Chapter 1, Jonah runs away. Why does Jonah go to Tarshish? Well, first, it's the opposite direction from Nineveh, from Assyria. Tarshish was a real place, but when they said Tarshish back in the day, it had that mythical, adventurous ring to it, like Timbuktu would today. Timbuktu is a real place in Africa, but we kind of use it as a faraway place. Now, if I were to say, I've got two tickets to paradise, what do you think? Yes, I know it's an old song, but it sounds like a nice vacation, doesn't it? two tickets to paradise. Now, if you live in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, paradise is a literal city where you could go visit. But that paradise has a ring of adventure and relaxation to it. In the same way, Tarshish has this mythical, adventurous ring to it. Yes, he was fleeing the opposite direction, but he wanted anything except to obey God. Now, most of our Bibles say in verse 3 that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, or the face of the Lord. Now, do you think Jonah really believed that he could outrun God's sight? When I first read Jonah, I thought that Jonah had taken the ideas of the nations around him and thought, you know, my God only is in charge in Israel. So I'm going to run away from Israel, therefore I'm away from his presence. But that's not what Jonah believes, because look down in verse 9. When he talks to the sailors, he tells them this: I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. There he acknowledges that God owns it all and is in charge of it all. And that terrified the sailors, because in the sailors' minds, they serve gods that were a god of a nation or the god of a specific part of nature. They were not familiar with the God who's in control of it all, and that's why they were terrified. So Jonah's not saying, I can get away from God's sight or his presence. One translation puts verse 3 this way: Jonah was fleeing from the Lord's service. And I think is obvious what he's doing, fleeing from what God wants him to do. Jonah did not want to do what God asked him to do. So if you can imagine with me a guilty child, a young child that's guilty, and what don't they do? They don't want to look you in the eye. And so Jonah was turning away from the gaze of God. And God said, Jonah, go. He's like, nope, I don't want to look you in the face, God. I want to go the other way. So Jonah avoided God, but God had other plans. The storm, while they are sailing, creates the perfect opportunity for the sailors to find out who Jonah really was. His answer terrifies them, because the Lord is not just the God of Israel, but of the whole world. They try to save the boat and they try to save Jonah, but they cannot. They are forced by necessity to throw Jonah overboard. Now think about this. What might have stopped the storm? Maybe Jonah repenting and saying, wait, God, I'm sorry. I've done wrong. Have mercy on me and my friends in this boat. Nope, he chose suicide by sailor instead of repenting. Jonah didn't know about the whale? No. Are you kidding me? No. He's not God. Jonah thought he was going to die. And that's why he had the sailors throw him overboard. Jonah did not have a heart overflowing with love for the sailors to say, you know what? Just sacrifice me and you'll be fine. Do you see that heart in chapter 4 where he's angry enough to die and he wants the Ninevites to be incinerated in God's wrath? No. Jonah would rather drown than repent of his disobedience. But God had other plans. Do you notice in Jonah's attempt to turn away from God, people are turning to God? Isn't this amazing? Did you notice the sailors? They say in verse 14, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So first, notice, they call God by his personal name, the Lord, Yahweh. So Jonah had told them enough that they know who the God of the universe is. They also acknowledge his control over the world. In verse, they say, you have done as it pleased you. Then in verse 16, they fear the Lord, which means they worship him and they offer sacrifices to him. So you got a shipload of sailors that been converted by the work of an accidental missionary, Jonah. Pretty incredible. But we'll get to that later. So Act 1, Jonah flees from God. Doesn't turn out as he wants to do, because God wants Jonah back. Act 2, Jonah prays. So Jonah's attempt at death ends poorly, and he is swallowed by a big fish. It's very likely, especially from the language of Jonah's prayer, is that he probably died. Sounds like he sunk to the bottom of the ocean. But again, this is God. He can do anything. So there's a likely possibility that Jonah actually died and God brought him back to life after the fish swallowed him. But what would you do if you had a near-death experience like this? What any person would do. They thank God. They all of a sudden, when you have a near-death experience or you're raised from the dead, you think about God. There are no atheists in foxholes. You've heard that expression before. When you're in the middle of war, about to lose your life, all of a sudden you think about God. And of course, this is what Jonah does. I think it's fantastic that Jonah takes a few short minutes out of his 3 days in the belly of the fish to pray to God. Don't you? Do you think that this prayer is genuine? That Jonah is like repented of his sins and wants to come back to God and wants to obey God? What do you think? Do you think chapter 2 is genuine? The reason I read all four chapters of Jonah is to show you Jonah's heart in chapter 4. That is rotten to the core still. I don't believe that chapter 2 is genuine. It is a prayer, but it's not heartfelt. Now here's the two reasons. First, it's very formulaic. If you're used to reading the book of Psalms, which I encourage you to do on a regular basis, a lot of these verses are straight out from the book of Psalms. So you would, you know, this would be like someone today praying the Lord's Prayer. Like, oh, they prayed the Lord's Prayer. Okay, but a lot of people know the Lord's Prayer, and just praying the Lord's Prayer doesn't make you a Christian and doesn't make you close to God. But Jonah is using the language he knew to pray to God, because, I mean, frankly, he was grateful that, you know, that God rescued him. Secondly, Jonah has not repented. Again, we saw his attitude in chapter 4. He'd rather die than have his enemies repent. Now, in chapter 4, Jonah actually prays. And I think this is where it's heartfelt finally. He says on his heart instead of spouting religious language. Notice chapter 4, verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Now that is a prayer. That's from his heart to the God of the universe. Jonah prays in chapter 2. He says the right words, but we know his heart is not there. Chapter 4 is his heart. Jonah has a death wish to get away from serving God, but God in his mercy pursues Jonah and rescues him. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that does not give up? So what can we learn from Jonah chapters 1 and 2? Well, first there's a warning, and then we'll talk about some hope. Warning number one, you can be far from God and convert others. You can be far from God and convert others. Jonah single-handedly converted a shipload of sailors. He was death-bent on disobeying God, but just because God is using you doesn't mean that you are living in a way that pleases him. That's very important. Wow, God used me to do these things. Fantastic. Well, God uses everything and everyone. In the book of Jonah, he uses a storm, a whale, a plant, a worm, a scorching wind, and a disobedient prophet to do his will. Maybe you wonder if God can use you. Don't worry. He's using you for something. If he can use Jonah, he can use you too. The question you need to be asking is, am I in right relationship to God? And am I living for him? God has a place and a plan for you. You can't figure it out completely. Your responsibility is to keep on turning from your sins and keep on trusting Jesus. That's what we need to do. Warning number two, you can be far from God and pray. You can be far from God and pray. Talking like a Christian and knowing how to speak Bible doesn't make you right with God. Listen to Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. There's many ways you can pray and spout religious language, and God does not hear you because your heart is far from him. But dear friends, I entitled this message, Hope for Disobedient Christians. So if you're a disobedient Christian, I have hope for you today. Here's some good news from the book of Jonah. Number one, Jonah never gets it right. I find that very encouraging, that Jonah never gets it right. First, he disobeys God, but then when he obeys God outwardly, he has a heart full of anger and hatred. We wish there was a chapter 5 where Jonah says, you know what, I was an idiot, I repent of my sins, I'm writing the book of Jonah so you won't screw up like I did. There's no chapter 5 like this. We just end with God's question to him. As Christians, we will disobey God. In our obedience, we will have the wrong motives. We will switch between rebels, like waking up and asking for God's mercy, and proud religious people thinking that we've got it all together. Face it, you're not going to get everything right all the time. And you're never going to obey God perfectly. And that's why we talk about the gospel, because Jesus got everything right for you. You won't get it right, but Jesus did, and that is good news. Second bit of good news for you is that God gives Jonah a second chance. In chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah says this about God. I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. You think that Jonah is a book of the Ninevites repenting and God showing mercy to the city? In fact, the book of Jonah is about God having mercy on Jonah because he's the worst guy in the entire book. Jonah runs away. God sends a storm. Jonah tries to drown himself. God sends a fish. Jonah is in an angry stew, and God doesn't leave him alone. God sends a plant, a worm, and a scorching wind to teach Jonah a lesson about compassion. The good news of the Bible is that God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. If you are alive today, you have another chance, and that's God's mercy on your life. If you are alive today, you have opportunity to leave behind your sins and trust Jesus to save you. God is merciful and gracious and will forgive your sins because Christ took them on the cross for you. Don't wait, because today you have a second chance, but tomorrow you may not. Now, for us who claim to know and love Jesus, we also have an opportunity for a second chance. There might be something that God wants you to do that you are not doing. So this is a call for you to wake up and obey God. Do you really want to go through what Jonah did just to get to the end and say, okay, God, finally, I understand? So Jonah is a call for you to wake up and say, and God is offering you another chance to obey him. Maybe he isn't asking you to go to a foreign country, to enemies of the gospel. But maybe it's something very simple, a simple act of Christian obedience, Perhaps it is something like befriending a coworker, sharing the gospel with your neighbor. Perhaps it is staying in a hard place instead of looking for two tickets to paradise. Don't run from God and the ministry he wants you to do. You'll be miserable and you will hurt people around you. Today, God gives you another chance, and that is good news. Then last bit of good news is that God rescues Jonah from his own stupidity. God rescues Jonah from his own stupidity. Jonah is a mess, just like us. And maybe you've been in a mess like Jonah before. Jonah is full of anger and hatred. He wants to die. He tries to drown himself. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you're there right now, and you're hiding it well. Maybe you would say with Jonah, "It is better for me to die than to live." This is where it gets real. How did Jonah get to such a miserable place? How do we get to such a miserable place where we don't want to live anymore? Jonah, instead of trusting God to protect him from his enemies, he instead feared them instead of trusting God's control over all the nations. Jonah's fear turned to anger and hatred against his enemies. His anger and hatred rotted him to the core. He wanted control of his life, his heart, and his destiny. He did not want God to control his heart, his life, and his destiny. Now, this may not be the only reason why you want to end your life, but this is a common one. We want to be in control. And when that falls through and we're not in control, we get angry and we hate the people and the things that are standing in our way. And the final way we want to control our lives is to end them on our own terms. So there is a way out if you're in an angry, depressing pit like Jonah. It is not to convince some sailors to throw you overboard. That is not the way out. It is to cry out to God for mercy. There's many reasons why you may feel like you're at the end of your rope. But for all of them, the answer is to cry out to God for mercy. He's the one who will save you. God is there, though you may not feel it. God is working, though you may not see it. He is waiting for you to call out to him for mercy. And he is working in your life, just like he is working in Jonah's life. The good news from the book of Jonah is that we have an incredibly merciful God, a God who does not leave us in our sin, but sent Jesus after us to save us. And when we turn to Jesus, God doesn't give up on us. He's like, "Oh, you turn to Jesus, now you can just kind of do your own thing." No, God continues to pursue us, and he gives us a second chance. And that is good news. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the book of Jonah, and we confess that we are like him more often than we would want to admit. And I pray that you would help us, Father, to repent before you drag us through misery to teach us a lesson. Father, thank you that you are a merciful God, and I pray that you have mercy on us all. And Lord, if there's some here today that feels like Jonah, who is in an angry, depressing pit, I pray that you would not let them go, but that you would have mercy on them and show them yourself. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.